I put the blame 100% on me, and not in a bad way, right? I've kind of come to terms with it, that it's part of the learning curve of business and leadership and hiring people and running teams.
You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
This is episode 743 of the Flip Empire Show. And on today's show, I get to interview my good friend, Raul Balufe, who got started in real estate about 10, 11 years ago at 20 years old and has since built a very successful real estate investing business, primarily focused on wholesaling. My man has done tons and tons of deals. As you're about to hear, he's an action taker. He's super ambitious. And he's also the host of a successful podcast called Flipping Miami. So what I'm really excited about is the raw, the real, authentic conversation you're about to hear between myself and Raul about burnout and entrepreneurial burnout. In fact, as we're going to dive into and you're going to learn more about, Raul called me about 5-6 months ago and was basically considering and getting ready to shut down a successful wholesaling operation. At one point, he had 27 team members. I'm talking about COOs, acquisition managers, lead managers, transaction coordinators. I mean, the typical wholesaling model. He's been there, he's done that, and he reflects on his experience. He shares lessons learned. He shares pitfalls that you can listen to avoid when it comes to burnout, when it comes to hiring, when it comes to culture, when it comes to mission, purpose. And this episode is jammed packed with so much valuable information and just insight, wisdom from Raul, along with some of my color commentary. So I really believe that you guys are going to enjoy this podcast episode. Let's dive into this episode 743 with Raul Balufe. What's up? What's up, guys? Alex Pardo here, back on another Flip Empire show. And I got a really good buddy of mine, Raul Balufe, somebody who I have known for, I don't know, probably a decade or so. Just great dude, super successful real estate investor and wholesaler in the South Florida area. We have a lot in common and we just stay in contact. And, you know, we've been in touch about getting him back on the show. So we'll definitely link up the first time that Raul was on the show, which I don't even know. It must have been 2, 3, 4 years ago at this point. And Raul's just somebody who's always been an action taker, somebody who I've always admired because super young, ambitious, go-getter. And his business has evolved throughout the years. Started as a one-man show, built a team, and has had the office and the systems and the team members. And now his business has evolved in another way. And we're going to talk about that on the show. So if you are an active wholesaler, if you're in the fix and flip business, or even if you're somebody who you're on the sidelines, but you're thinking about getting involved in real estate, I know there's several that are in the storage space and the commercial world. I want you to lean into this episode because I think the conversation is going to be about business principles. And yes, we're going to talk real estate and we might even talk some lifestyle stuff because Raul, like me, he loves to travel and he's definitely somebody that lives life and just takes full advantage of the opportunities. So I think you guys are going to get a lot out of this regardless of where you're at in your real estate or entrepreneurial journey. So with that being said, Raul, dude, it is awesome to get you back on the show, bro.
Yes, I appreciate it, man. Thank you. It's been a long time coming. We've been talking and setting this up and we've had a bunch of conversations. So
yeah.
I'm excited to come back on. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So here's what I'm going to do. Instead of asking you about how you got started in real estate and just like giving us kind of the rundown of years ago, people can check that out on the first episode. I'm sure we covered that. I want to kind of fast forward and take this interview in a little bit of a different direction than I typically do. You and I had a conversation. I want to say it feels like it was just yesterday, but it was probably 4, 5, 6 months ago. And you reached out to me. I asked you your permission if I could bring this up on the podcast, because obviously that was a private, confidential conversation and I would never violate that, right? So I asked you your opinion to bring this up. And the reason I asked is because I thought it would really open up people's eyes to what direction do they really want to go in with their business. There's going to be a lot of people listening to this, Raul, that like me back in 2019, 2020, we're starting to question like, hey, do I want to continue down this road? Does this business model fit my vision? Does it fit the goals that I'm after? And I think that was part of the reason that you reached out to me, aside from the fact that we're friends and we have a relationship. You reached out to me and you had some questions, some concerns. So I don't want to tell your story. So do you mind kind of filling in people listening and people watching, like what that conversation was like and kind of what were you going through at that time?
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring this up. I haven't really talked about it to too many people, obviously, like my close circle, and you know about kind of what I was going through. But it had been about a little over 10 years that I had been wholesaling in the real estate investing industry. Like you said, started as a one-man show, then grew a team. I started on doing the nitty-gritty MLS thing, that I was making offers on the MLS and wholesaling it and dealing with the realtors and all that. Then we did off-market, then I hired a COO, then basically the whole thing, right? And it worked until mentally I was just checked out, right? Yeah, our conversation was about 5 months ago. And because that's when I was thinking of basically stopping or taking a break. And probably like that whole year, all of like last year, I was just like mentally not there. And I've always been a very optimistic person. I've been a go-getter. I don't know, just very, very optimistic about life. And always see the cup half full. It's been a flaw sometimes, right? But that's just the person I am. And I feel like to be in real estate, you kind of have to have a little bit of that, because there's so much shit that can go wrong. But yeah, it got to the point, man, that I thought of you because I hit a wall, in the sense of like I was going to the office. I had a team of like, I don't know, 8 or 9 people, and I was coaching them and I was doing the whole thing, being the CEO role, et cetera, et cetera. And my girlfriend was like, yo, something's up with you, because I couldn't smile. I couldn't be happy. It was the strangest thing. I'd never experienced this before. So I remember I called you and I'm like, Alex, I know you went through something like this. You were a big wholesaler here for a long time and you did a million deals and we talked a lot, and I always like look to you for advice. So I hit you up and I was like, dude, I'm going through this. I imagine you went through this when you shifted your career path. What do you think? And you gave me some pretty good advice. And I had been thinking about taking a break.
Yeah.
And you basically affirmed that. You're like, hey, I think you should take a couple months off and really think about it. And that's what I did. It was weird. And you kind of gave me that permission of like, it's okay to not do anything for a little bit. And I feel like you probably suffered from that a little bit too, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because like, the first like month or so that I took a break, for the last 10, 11 years, since I was like maybe 20 years old is when I started the business, I don't think I remember a day or a week that I really just had nothing on my calendar, nothing on my agenda.
Yeah.
So that was really weird, but that's where I was at, man. It was a strange time. I'm so glad I did. I'm on the other side of that now,
yeah.
But that's where I was at. I'm glad you bring that up, because if I'm going through it and you went through it, I'm sure there's another 1 or 2 or 10 people that might be thinking about it or going through it too.
I think there's probably a lot more than that, man. We might be surprised how many people are probably experiencing some form of burnout. And that's part of the reason I thought to ask you to have a conversation about this, because while I do want to ask you some questions about what you experienced feeling like not having anything on your calendar, not having responsibilities, I'm going to hit a pause on that for a second. And I want to kind of backtrack. When we talk about entrepreneurial burnout, right? What did that mean to you? What was it you were feeling? And what do you think led to that? And I'd love to really dive deeper on just the theme of burning out and how anybody listening to this show or watching this in the future can avoid burnout, right? Like, I'd love to know, now that you're on the other side of it, looking back, what led to that burnout and what did you learn from that experience?
That's a great question. And obviously, I've had a couple months to think about it. For me, it was just a lack of purpose of the results. So what I mean by that was, the experience of burnout for me was, there was just no purpose anymore. I was seeing results, but there was nothing behind that, nothing that meant anything behind that. There was like, for me specifically, there was a lot of turnover in my business and people. So like, deals closed, money in, people gone. So it's just this hamster wheel of, obviously there's results, there's income, there's profit and loss, but then there's also like, my main mission with business was people, and more specifically, the people on my team. Like, that is what drives me still. And that is what drove me. So when I saw that even though money was coming in, but the people were coming out or something was off there, my whole mission of this whole journey that I was on in business or what I wanted to do was off. And then that threw off like my equilibrium. So for me specifically, my real purpose was helping people. And when I thought that I wasn't completing that, that's when I really started experiencing the burnout. I would say that's the best answer I got so far.
No, man, not only is it the best answer, it's authentic, it's real, and it totally makes sense to me, right? Like, I've always said, business needs to be more than just making money. Obviously, we run a business, so we need to be profitable, and being profitable is one of the ways that we help our customers, our clients, homeowners, the people we work with and interact with, right? So making money and being profitable is very important. Otherwise, you're not going to be in business very long. With that said, purpose-driven businesses are the ones that I see not only succeeding, but they can sustain rough patches. They can sustain seasons. And it seems like that was just totally like, it was missing. There was a void. There was a gap there because of the constant turnover. When you kind of reflect back on it, Raul, do you think it had something to do with the culture of your business? Do you think you might have maybe hired the wrong people, or maybe they were in the wrong seats? Like, let's dive a little bit deeper. So if there was turnover and people were part of your mission, your purpose, what do you think was leading to that turnover?
Good question. It's a catch-22, because as I took these months to reflect, I realized that I didn't fail my mission. I actually succeeded on the mission, because most of the people that I'm talking about, that I'm thinking about, that were important in the business, they went on to do bigger and better things.
There you go.
The challenge was, one, the owner is the one that gets stuck with the next thing, right? So we got to hire the next people and all that. So although it was a burnout in the moment, when I really took a step back to think, I wasn't the one that did it for them, but did I give them a platform to elevate themselves and resources and education to now become better financially or better human beings in general, or create a better future for themselves? My answer is yes. So although I'm still going on, right? I'm only 31. I have plenty to do. I have long to go. So to answer your question, the mission, when I really thought about it, wasn't failed. It was complete and it's still ongoing. Mm-hmm. Now, when it came to really detail, now you have to take care of yourself. You got to put the oxygen mask on you before you can put it on other people.
That's right.
What I realized was, yes, overall, I hired the wrong people. Overall, I hired too many people like me. I hired too many people that were aligned more for themselves than for the mission that I was bringing to the table.
Yeah.
And that was that. Basically, I hired too many people that wanted to do their own thing, and I missed the signs too late, basically.
Yeah. So, yeah. Would you say, as a takeaway, it sounds like you hired entrepreneurs, people that were very ambitious, that eventually were using your business as a stepping stone. And I don't mean that in a negative or a derogatory way, but like, so for people listening, is your advice, hey, if you're going to go out and you're going to hire a salesperson, a lead manager, a transaction coordinator, like a lot of the common seats that we have in the real estate space, right? Would you say to really focus on hiring people that have more of an employee mindset versus people that have, hey, I'm kind of in business for myself, or eventually I want to be in business for myself, even though they might be the right culture fit or they might be the perfect person for that particular role?
The answer is yes. The short answer is yes. Obviously, there's a lot that goes into that, but it depends, right? I guess the answer is it depends. If you're looking for a partner, if you're looking for like a CEO or COO, it might be good to get an entrepreneur mind and then have a very clear written expectations of, hey, here's profit share, here's equity share, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're hiring for a lead manager, salesperson, dispo, lead finder, cold caller, et cetera, best to hire people who have previous history that their employee mindset, and not in a bad way, right? Like, obviously, all of us have employees, and there's a million employees in the world that are amazing human beings and will continue to be. So when we say that, Alex and I, we don't mean this in a weird, like, bad way of employee mindset. But overall, Alex, yes, that was my learning lesson, was just to do more research on people beforehand, have very, very clear expectations. And if there is somebody, like I hired an operations manager when I started rebuilding the business, that was the first thing I hired, because I also wanted to remove myself from so much interaction with all levels of people. I'm still obviously involved, but the more in I was, the more attached I got. And then the more, you know, when people left, the tougher it was for me. So I think depends on the role. But yes, overall, depending on the business you want to build, if you want a very stable business that does this and this, employee mindset and clear expectations on what that means for you.
Yeah, brother. It's interesting you said that. I want to highlight that word expectations, because I just had a conversation. I was on a mastermind call that I do once a week on Wednesday mornings. And we were talking about setting, when you think about relationships in general, you and I are like relationship driven people, right? Like, we think relationally, we don't necessarily think transactionally. And I truly believe that the quality of our lives is impacted by the quality of our relationships. And when you boil down relationships to like its core, it's about communication, but it's about setting expectations, right? If you're listening to this and you're married, or you have a significant other, or you have a business partner, think about relationships that succeed and prosper and thrive versus the ones that struggle and there's friction and there's struggle and conflict. It boils down in relationships when there's conflict or when there's struggle, it's because expectations weren't being met. So I think it's so important, guys, that if you're willing to have an awkward and uncomfortable conversation before the relationship begins or at the beginning of a relationship, you can avoid potentially having an awkward or uncomfortable conversation later on. So if you're listening and you're looking to hire, regardless of the role, it could be a VA all the way up to a COO, setting clear expectations, defining those boundaries and how the relationship is going to thrive, I think is so, so important. It might sound obvious, but you know this, Raul, there's so many people that just don't take the time to clearly define and communicate what they expect. And part of that might be because they don't even know what to expect, right? So that could be a part of it as well. Do you think, man, from a leadership perspective, because I know you to be a strong communicator and a good leader, but again, looking back, and that's the benefit of living and having experiences, right? Is that we learn and we grow. From a leadership perspective, is there anything that you would have done different that you think could have mitigated some of that employee turnover, even though they may have had an entrepreneurial mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I put the blame 100% on me, and not in a bad way, right? I've kind of come to terms with it, that it's part of the learning curve of business and leadership and hiring people, running teams, et cetera. So long story short, yes, if I was a leader, there was many, many things I could have done differently, many conversations I could have had sooner, many expectations I could have set sooner, many pay structures I could have changed sooner, many doubts, many conversations that I was being spoken to, but I wasn't listening. So it was 100% on me, right? Like no one put me in this scenario but myself, right? So they didn't do anything wrong. I don't blame them at all. All these people I'm still like pretty close with and tight with. So there's no bad blood at all. This was just on me. It was a big, big learning experience for me of human psychology, interaction, incentive, right? And like Charlie Munger says, right? Show me your incentive plan. I'll show you what you're going to do. I'll show you what the business will make. So there was a lot of little nuanced things, right? That could be a whole conversation itself. But ultimately what I boiled it down to was just expectations, awareness, and tough conversations. I would say those are the three things that come to mind. If I was really in tuned, maybe not so busy running around trying to do so many things, but more in tuned to the humans that were doing their best for the company and what they were trying to tell me with their actions and their words, I think things could have been a little differently. Things handled a little differently, but it's on me. There you go.
Brother, I want to publicly give you your flowers, man, for two reasons. Number one, because you succeeded in your mission. Like you elevated people, you helped them, you poured into them, and now they're better off as a result of them having the opportunity to work in your business. So that's the first thing, because I do believe that leaders, our job is to elevate people. Now, we might not necessarily want them to leave, but that's a part of business. That's going to happen. And the second thing is, brother, that you're taking it on the chin like a champ. You're saying like, hey, this was on me. Like that person didn't wrong me, or like you're not pointing the finger, but you're accepting responsibility and accountability, because at the end of the day, it's always on us as the CEO or as the entrepreneur. We're the one that put that person in the seat. We're the one that hired them, right? So there's power in looking inwardly, accepting responsibility and accountability, and that gives you the opportunity to grow and learn, versus if you're always pointing the finger at somebody else, there's only but so much you're going to learn. Right. I would argue you're not going to learn much if you're always deflecting and blaming and pointing the finger.
Yeah. Yeah. And even from the beginning, I knew it was my fault, or I knew it was like my responsibility. It's a better word. The challenge for me was I just didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it internally. I didn't know how to deal with it externally. Like I didn't know, okay, what do I say? How do I structure this? What do I do? Can I change this plan? Like I hadn't been there. Right.
Yeah.
And at that point, I seeked out some coaches and some mentors and some help, but you know, there's only so much, right? Like it just, there's some things that you just have to experience. And I'm just grateful I experienced it at an early stage, an early age, right? And I'm grateful for a lot of things. I'm grateful for all these people that came through my way because I learned a lot from them. They produced for me. So it's not like it wasn't a one-sided thing at all.
Yeah.
They gave me a lot. I gave them a lot. And people go their separate ways. And that's it. But tons of learning lessons. And it's funny because like a wholesale business on YouTube seems so like fun and seems so like, I feel like this conversation, if you would never mention wholesaling, people probably would never even relate the two. But once you start hiring human beings and having people work with you and providing leads for them and support, like this is stuff that eventually is going to come your way one way or the other, right? And we got up to our highest was probably 27 people, right?
20? You got, I didn't even know that. 27 people?
Yeah. We had an office and we had 27 people between sales and dispo, and we were cranking out, I don't know, 25, 30 contracts a month. And COO and the whole thing. So all the way up to there, from my mom's freaking house in a little corner desk in a bedroom when I was 20 years old to 20 something people and all these deals and money and stuff, and then back to square one. And that's a part of it, bro. That's part of
it. Yeah. Well, you want to know what, man? You brought up so many good points, and I think there's a lot to unpack. If people rewind and listen to like the last 2 minutes of what Raul just said, there's a few things I want to kind of like peel the layers back a bit. Dude, the first is I remember watching like Instagram stories of yours, like of you and your team like hitting the bong. I think you call it a bong, right? Every time you got a deal and like your office and the whole nine. And dude, that's awesome because you're putting out there like genuinely what you guys are doing. But somebody from the outside looking in, like you see the fun, the energy, like you see the wins. What I love about this conversation is that you're sharing the real. Like, yeah, we experienced that and that's a part of it that wasn't fake. But there's also this side of it, right? To your point, when you're hiring people, like, you know, there's personalities and there's agendas and there's sometimes a misalignment of goals and vision, and leadership is challenging. And that's why if you were to ask me, hey, what three areas does anyone listening to this need to focus on? I would say invest in yourself, and to go a little bit deeper, leadership, sales, and marketing. Like if you get sharp in those three areas, or at least two of those three, like I truly believe you can thrive and never go broke, never starve. So it's interesting that you said that, man. And I think this is going to be a really eye-opening podcast for a lot of people, letting them know that they're not alone, right? I never got to 27 people, not even half of that. I think at our peak, we were 9. And dude, sometimes it was challenging because you'd have somebody leave. And I've always said one of the challenges with wholesaling is if you want to keep it small, but you do want to build the team, you're one person leaving from you potentially having to step back into that role.
Yeah.
Right. And I remember at one point I had two acquisition managers and then I had one and we had a lot of leads. And then I stepped into an acquisition role, but I didn't really want to do that anymore. I was tired. And at that point we were doing face-to-face, belly-to-belly appointments. We never went virtual. I ended up stopping my operation right before COVID, or as COVID was happening. So yeah, man, I commend you because experience is the best teacher. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, Raul, that you said that I think there's a lot of wisdom in just kind of your mindset and how you're communicating about this, is that yes, it's important to hire coaches and mentors and invest in masterminds. You and I have spent a lot of money on coaches, mentors, and masterminds. But you also have matured enough to know that, hey, like, that's not an easy button. Like just because I can call a mentor or a coach, sometimes you have to experience things yourself to really learn from it. Again, there's so much wisdom in that, that people sometimes are not willing to like go through the fire, so to speak. They want to be able to call someone and get an answer. Sometimes that's just not possible. Sometimes you just got to experience it.
Yeah. Ever since I was young, I've kind of known that. I've been that type of person. I played baseball growing up. And even though I had coaches and stuff in baseball, I'd always remember that, like, they tell me, hey, put your leg up. Like, I was a pitcher and a shortstop. So, hey, put your leg up like this, do like this. He's like, if you do this, you're going to do it wrong. You're going to mess up your shoulder. And I would have to mess up my shoulder to learn. Like, yeah, I've always kind of been like that. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but I've kind of known that about myself. So it's a little bit of a hindrance when I have a coach because they might tell me things, and then I still have to mess it up to learn it. But then once I mess it up and learn, like I learn it, right? So yeah, I've always had coaches and mentors and masterminds along the way, but people have their own agenda. And I think that this happened. I put all these chess pieces in place and I must have done this for a reason. I must have done this for like a hard lesson. So I never learned it again. I'm 31. Now I can move forward. I feel like I'm a better person because of it. Now I feel like I understand people a little bit more. No doubt. I mean, huge journey, right? I've probably learned 1% of what I have to do in my life, right?
Yeah.
But I think it's just opened my eyes. If I wouldn't have gone through this, I don't think any coach or mentor would have been able to instill this in my head, or any book or any podcast. Unfortunately, that's just the way I am. But now I have it, and now I can use it to become a better leader, a better coach, a better mentor to somebody else, and better business person in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get it. Well, man, look, you're not beating yourself up over, there's no level of guilt or shame that I'm hearing, right? But you're young, man. You're 31. Like, it's important that you know that you have that awareness about yourself that, like, hey, sometimes I need to hit my head against a brick wall to know that, like, I need a sledgehammer to get through this wall, not my head, right? To use a weird analogy that just came to mind. But I would think that as you get older, as you get even wiser, as you experience more things, it'll get to a point where you don't always have to like have the chichong on your head in order to like experience, you know what I mean? Like, cause life can be a painful lesson and you sometimes hope that you don't have to experience something that really, really sets you back. Well, man, before we kind of like dive into where you're at today, right? There's a lot that you've shared with us going through that process. I do want to touch on what you were able to gain or how you were able to grow from taking some time off. And I think I shared this with you when you called me 5 months ago. I truly believe that sometimes we're better served slowing down in order so that we can speed up, right? It's the analogy of the two guys that like rush to like a big tree. They grab an axe. The axe is dull. It's not sharp. One guy is just swinging away. He's sweating. He's getting tired. The other guy like picks it up, realizes it's dull, and says, hey, let me sharpen this axe, take 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes to sharpen the axe. And the guy that does that, that tree comes down a lot faster, right? So what did you experience? How did you grow? What did you learn by taking a couple of months off and then coming back to the business with fresh eyes?
Yeah, I would say that I deserve it. And I think everyone deserves it. And when I called you, I think I called 4 people that like I really looked up to. And basically, it was split 50-50. It was like, don't take a break, keep going versus okay, take a break, keep going. And what I learned from this experience was no one really knows what's best for yourself.
That's right.
And although like the advice, I think, was good from everyone, and I think was from good intention from everyone, the first thing I learned was, dude, it's okay to have your own thought and to have your own plan.
Yeah,
even if 1 or 2 respected people don't agree with it, or 10 mm-hmm. or 100, right? It's okay. So that was kind of like the first step, because just I couldn't have a good break unless I overcame that first step of like, dude, it's okay. It's okay, right? Because like in my head, I'm thinking, bro, you're only 30 years old and what are you going to take a break for? Like you have all this energy. You should be doing this, this, and this. You should be make more calls, hire more people, get back on track, spend marketing, like maybe take a weekend off, come back. You know, I had all these thoughts like, don't be a little bitch, don't give up, all these like kind of thoughts in my head. And I think I told you briefly when we spoke. So one thing I learned was it's okay. And whether I was wrong or right, it doesn't really matter, right? What matters is how I see the experience. So overall, the break was incredible because I really took a step back and I allowed all my fog, my brain fog from like massive activity for the last 10 plus years to just like settle down.
Boom.
And like when you're doing stuff every day and you're really trying and you're really hustling and you're investing and you're taking risks and you're making sales calls, when you're doing all this stuff for years and years and years, right? It accumulates little like scars, right? Because things go wrong. If everything went right every day, probably podcasts wouldn't exist because people wouldn't need to learn shit, right? So scars kind of pile up every day. And then when you really stop and just chill, I feel like it goes down and your brain is like almost like a little kid again. So that was the one thing I learned. That was one of the benefits. I really stopped. I really tried to not work. I had like a couple things I had to do. I had some flips and things I was selling, but I was maybe working like 2 hours a week, right? So very, very little. One of the takeaways was the people thing. Once like my brain fog went down, I realized, damn, Raul, the signs were there. Like these people were always going to leave. And that's fine. But the signs were there, Raul. Like you just missed it. Like it was on me.
Right.
So that was one, was that the people was the most important thing. And number two was, Raul, your mission did not fail. You succeeded so far your mission.
That's massive.
Which was big. It kind of gave me permission to keep going. And that's part of the reason why I stayed in. And honestly, the other parts, I just had fun. I traveled to South America.
Yeah.
I went to Argentina, Brazil. I hung out with friends. I met people. I thought of ideas. I thought, okay, what could I do differently?
You took the words right out of my mouth, man. I'm going to take the opportunity to jump right in, because one of the things that I've experienced is that when I got away from wholesaling and I shut that operation down at the beginning of 2020, I wanted to dive into the next thing. I was thinking it was going to be commercial real estate. I was considering storage, but I didn't really know. And my coach, who to this day is still my coach, he told me, Alex, and it's some of the best advice I've gotten. He says, take a while for yourself. Like, I know your tendency, the way that you're wired, is to go conquer the next mountain, build the next business. He's like, I encourage you to take some time off, enjoy the fruits of your labor, travel, just pour into yourself, like prioritize yourself, not the business and others. And now again, looking back, I took 6 months off. I think pretty much between like May of 2020 and end of November of 2020, I pretty much did nothing outside of the podcast, a couple of Ascend mastermind retreats, and that's it, just travel. And brother, it was so liberating. It gave me the opportunity to just see what was sometimes in front of me that I couldn't see because I was in the thick of it. It's kind of like, I like the way that you put it, brain fog. And it also allowed me to see things that I otherwise just wouldn't have had the opportunity to see because I was coming from a different, like, I had more bandwidth. And when you have bandwidth, you see things from a different perspective. So I truly believe that you might not have to take 6 months off like I did. You don't have to take 2 months off like Raul did. But even if you're happy and passionate and fulfilled about what you're doing, I think it's important to take little breaks. Now, for you, you get to define what that is. That could be an hour a day. That could be a weekend. That could be a week, a quarter, right? Which, by the way, is what I really like now. Like, make sure to take a week, a quarter off, and then have longer gaps. Like, we'd like to do a month off in the summer. Man, I think you come back more refreshed. I love combat sports, like mixed martial arts, dude, and stuff like that. And fighters don't go from one camp and jump into the next camp. They go through a camp, they fight, they take a little bit of time off. Let your body heal up, let your mind recover. I think entrepreneurs need to like consider that and take a page out of a fighter's book, because it's really the same thing. While we might not be putting our bodies through the kind of stress and strain that they do, sometimes I think we put our mind through much worse, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad the conversation took this shape, because I think people need to hear more of this. But brother, where are you now, man? You seem much more relaxed than when we had a conversation 5 months ago. So one thing I want to find out about is where you're at today, but I do want to push back on one thing you said earlier. You said back to square one. I don't see it as back to square one. Even though you don't have a team of 9 or 27 people, you might not have a big office, you're further along in the journey, even though it might just be you now. I personally don't see it as back to square one, but just wanted to throw that out there. But dude, what does life and business look like today?
Well, yeah, definitely a little bit more relaxed. Business is, in those months, I'm like, man, do I come back to wholesale? Obviously, I had a lot of fear of, if I don't come back to wholesale, what do I do, right? I'm already used to a level of income that is possible to make in other industries, but it would be a challenge, right? It'd be a new thing. So I said, okay, I really took a deep dive. I said, I still like the industry and my mission stays the same. I like people more than the industry, honestly. And yes, I do like to help sellers and buyers, don't get me wrong, but I really like to help my team more, because those are the people who last longer, right? Our sellers and buyers in the wholesale space, there's very little stickiness. They sell one property, we never hear from them again. The buyers, they buy maybe a couple houses a year, don't really hear from them again. If you stop bringing them deals, they stop caring about you. Sellers, if you don't bring them money, they don't care about you. Yeah. But the team, honestly, right? I still want to help them. I'm not here to like harm any sellers or buyers, but I'm just in general, right? Like, this is what I've learned. So my team is really the most, what keeps me going. So where am I now? The first thing I did was I hired an operations manager to restart the wholesale business.
Okay.
So I hired from the top down, right? So I was, okay, I'm going to take the CEO role. What I determined in my time off was, out of all the things I've done in the wholesale business, make offers, sales calls, appointments, virtual, you name it, right? The things I really like to do is run like team meetings and team coaching sessions, like sales and dispo and marketing, like just running team meetings and helping people grow, and marketing. Those are the two things I like to do, which is basically being a leader and being a marketer. So I said, okay, these are the two things that are non-negotiables that I will do. The rest, got to be gone. So I hired an operations manager. That was a journey in itself. It took probably like almost 3 months to hire the right one. I got about 400 applicants.
Wow.
I did about 60-something interviews. I narrowed it down.
A lot of interviews, man.
Yeah. And then I broke it down to the top four. And then I had outside counsel, not me. I hired two different people that are good at recruiting, people that know me.
Okay.
To interview each of the four and narrowed it down to top two. And then I went with my gut with the one. So anyway, it was a huge long process, but I hired, I feel like, the right operations person to then help me hire and grow the business bottom. So right now it looks like today we got a wholesale business running, operations manager, two acquisitions agents, and a junior rep.
Dude, well, hold on. That blows me away, because we had a conversation 5 months ago.
Yeah.
You took 2 months off, right?
3 months.
3 months off. So you basically got back into the saddle 60 days ago or so.
Right.
And you've already hired an operations person. I think you said junior acquisition. Like, you basically have a team of 5 or 6 people that you've built in the last 60 days.
That's right.
Okay. So, wow.
I move fast.
Dude. So, man, there's I'm kind of tripping over my words, because like, I know you to be ambitious and a go-getter. And even that inspires me in a certain way, right? Because sometimes I think we have a limiting belief that hiring is a process and it's going to take time to find the right person. And I think that's true in many instances, at least that's been my experience. But you're kind of like pushing back on that. You have hired more people in 60 days then sometimes it takes people 60 days to find an assistant or a virtual assistant. You've hired all these people. So clearly you've figured something out. This is probably its own podcast, right? But like in a quick nutshell, what are some practical tips or advice or anything you can share when it comes to like your hiring process and making sure that now you've leveraged your past experience to find the right person for each of these roles?
I love that question. Yeah, so I'll elaborate. So again, the operations manager took me months to find, right? Even on the last month of my break, I had already kind of started that process. Like I put the ads up,
okay.
I started emailing my email list, I started reaching out to my network. So really like the last month, I was probably dedicating maybe like 3 to 4 hours a week on finding the right ops person because I knew that was going to be my most important hire.
Okay.
So, and then out of the two acquisitions reps, one rep worked with me in the past that we worked very well together. So I kind of hired somebody very quickly because I knew they checked all the boxes for like my core values and the company and all that stuff. So then we hired one more person, which Mandy, my operations manager, was the one who pretty much spent a bunch of hours every week sifting through leads and going through that. So some practical things that we do is that I always email my email list. I put it on social media. And then I do Indeed ads. That's basically it. And then we have just a system, you know, applicants come in, we have them do a personality test.
Which one do you use, by the way? Are you using like Predictive or Culture?
We use Disc Profile.
Okay, Disc.
Regular old Disc. And I use Team Architects personality test as well.
What's it called?
Team Architects.
Okay, Team Architects. Never heard of it. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a Kent Clothier brand. So
got it.
We use that and... Yeah. And then we just kind of follow the same thing. We do a first interview, second interview, we hear him make a call, then I'll do the final interview and kind of make a decision. Yeah. But yeah. And then, yeah, it's basically what we did. We just moved pretty fast. But don't get me wrong, even in these last 2 months, we've had turnover. I've had two salespeople already that had not worked and I fired right away or let go, let me say.
Yeah.
So we hired people, didn't work, let them go. And we kind of kept the recruiting machine going because I warned Mandy, my ops manager. I said, this first 3 months, there's going to be turnover because we're going to hire a little quickly, but we have to let them go quickly if they don't work. So that's what we did. Basically, we hired one person, didn't work. Within a week, we let them go. Next person didn't work. Within a week, let them go. Next person passed the first week, passed the second week. We're like, okay, maybe this is one to stay.
So you've kind of taken the approach of hire quickly, fire quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
For acquisitions reps, but for my operations manager, it took me months to hire. So
correct.
In this business, I think acquisitions reps, especially when it's heavily commission-based, like we do offer some base and commission, but it's heavily commission-based. Mm-hmm. I've learned that that approach works best in this business because I've taken a long time to hire an acquisitions rep and then they can't make 100 calls a day. So it's like, fuck, I just spent two months perfectly hiring this human being and then they don't like to be on the phone. So it's like, okay. Scrap that idea. And then it's like, let's hire fast, but we got to fire fast. And
hold you through. Use that to improve your hiring and your interview process. Like that, now that's an expectation that needs to be set up front. Hey, this particular acquisitions role requires a minimum of 100 outbound calls a day, right? Like, do you have experience? Do you enjoy being on the phone, right? So again, life and experience sometimes is the best teacher, right? There's things you can read, there's things you can listen to on a podcast, but those are things that now you use to tweak and improve your process and your system moving forward. Brother, awesome, man. So, dude, this has been great, man. I'm proud of you, man. Because again, I know you were kind of going through it when we spoke 5 months ago. And I'm grateful that you thought of me and reached out to me because I just love giving back and sharing. And by the way, I think I've even mentioned on that call, man, like I don't have all your answers. And I don't think anybody does. Sometimes you have to receive the information, the advice, the feedback from people you trust. And then reflect and process it on your own. And that's exactly what you did, man. So I'm glad that you kind of are on the other side of it now and you have the benefit of that experience because now we get to learn from it. Others listening to this thing, this podcast can now leverage your experience, which makes them better entrepreneurs and better investors. And I think that's why you and I have podcasts and why we give back and we provide content. So I appreciate it, man. Well, I'm flashing this on the screen, but Raul, dude, how do people connect with you? If people want to reach out to you, learn more about what you have going on, maybe do some joint venture deals, whatever it is that you might be involved in.
Yeah. If you want to reach out, RaulBulufa.com is kind of where I have all my podcast info, YouTube info, a bunch of free things on there. Instagram at RaulBulufa or my YouTube channel, RaulBulufa, and Flipping Miami podcast. Actually, I think I told you this, but I named it that because of you. Because I remember when I wanted to start a podcast years ago, I said, Alex, I want to start a podcast. What do you think I should do? And you said, well, look, everyone's having a general podcast. I think you should have a niched, localized podcast, right? So like, you're from Miami, you do deals here. So that's when I named it Flipping Miami. And that's why the mission is still interview people who either live in Miami, have businesses in Miami, or when I say Miami, I mean South Florida. It can be Fort Lauderdale and things.
Right.
That's still my mission of the podcast. And all because that conversation we had years ago. And even though my downloads and stuff are not huge, I've had like pretty good success as far as people reaching out to me and having team members and coaching students and things like that, because it's so localized. So when people search it, I'm like one of the only ones that are just localized for real estate down here. So I appreciate
it. I love it, brother. I love it, man. Awesome. Well, my man, again, dude, congrats on all the success. Congrats on just the evolution of your journey and just how you've gained so much wisdom throughout the past year. Guys, thank you for, again, tuning in to another masterclass here on the Flip Empire Show. Make sure you're subscribed so that you're notified every single Monday morning when new shows come out. And then for those of you who have reached out and are interested in getting involved in storage, www.storagewins.com, storagewins.com. Short application there, and then we'll schedule a call and ultimately see if it's a good fit. So with that being said, guys, have an incredible day. Raul, my man, I look forward to staying in touch, brother. And again, congrats on just the relaunched wholesaling operation, man. I'm excited to see where you go from here.
Appreciate it.
Take care, guys. One last thing before you go. If you have been listening to the show for a while and or you have been getting value from the show, I would be 100% honored if you would share this show with a friend, or maybe share it with somebody that you think could benefit from this. It's my mission, it's my cause, it's my purpose through Flip Empire to impact and touch people's lives and in their businesses. So it would be an honor if you would be willing to share this episode. And one last thing, make sure that you're subscribed so that you get notified every Monday and Thursday when shows get released. I look forward to connecting with you on the next one. Until then, have a great day.